Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, our special co-host, Kurt Collins, is becoming famous. You know, last week in the episode we did with Jerry Clark, he was complimented for something he had written about this fellow, this character from the UFO field. Was it Reinhold Schmidt?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And Kevin Randall, of course, as many of our listeners know, our guest for this week, has his own show, and Kurt was a guest on it. Kevin, you're really, really hitting the top now.
Hitting the top how? You mean by inviting Kurt on my show?
Absolutely.
And he was at the very tippy top of the list. So, yes.
See, he's becoming famous.
Hey, Gene, before we launch in, can we say a sad word about someone we lost?
Yes, we should. This is somebody who was a frequent poster in our forums, but also a guest on the Paracast twice, and he was a fascinating character. Kurt?
Thomas R. Morrison, Thomas Randolph Morrison, Randy to his loved ones. He was a ufologist, a brilliant fellow, and a talented artist. You know, I didn't know him that well, but I did correspond with him a bit, and I think he was only 58, so he passed away from a heart attack, taken away far too young from us. We have a little post in the forums, and, you know, people have expressed their condolences. So if you want to add yours there, you know, please do. And Gene has posted links to the two shows he was on, so you can check those out.
Yes, so this way you can hear what he had to say. Okay, so in fact, let me look at it right now. Exactly when he was on. He was on August 1st, 2021, and then in a roundtable discussion on December 3rd, 2017. Rest in peace, Thomas R. Morrison. Let's proceed with we older people. You know, me, Kevin, and Kurt, and I think I'm giving the ages in order there, but Kevin, a lot of people, of course, have heard you over the years on the Paracast and 1,001 other places. But for those who have never heard of Kevin Randall, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got embroiled in this UFO mess.
I cannot believe that there's anybody listening to your show that would not have heard my name, at least in passing at some point. Having said that, I will note that I'm a retired military officer, retired as a lieutenant colonel from the U.S. Army. I served as a helicopter pilot and aircraft commander in Vietnam. I was an intelligence officer in Iraq. I served during the Gulf War, but I never deployed, so I was kind of in service for 3 years, or three wars. I got interested in UFOs because of my mother. She had an interest in science fiction, and she actually took me to the movie Earth vs. the Flying Saucers when it came out. There dates me. My interest grew from there, and she was always talking about alien civilizations and interstellar flight and contact with aliens. And it's not a huge step from science fiction with those prospects into the UFO community, because that's exactly what we're talking about. So I always had an interest in it from that direction. I've written a number of books about UFOs. I've studied the Roswell case in depth. I've looked at a number of other cases, which are also fascinating. The Socorro case, I did a book called Encounter in the Desert, which deals with the Lonnie Zamora sighting from 1964, Zamora being the policeman in Socorro who saw a landed object. Interestingly, people had kind of rejected that for a number of years simply because they thought of it as a single witness case. But as you delve into it deeply, you learn that Zamora was not a single witness. There were a number of people in Socorro who heard something and saw something in the sky. Now, what is really maddening about this is the people who were there in 1964, and I'm thinking of Hynek, and I'm thinking of the Air Force, and I'm thinking of Ray Stanford. didn't bother to give the names of these people. They would have been easy to find. There's a report in both in the Project Blue Book files written by a man named Holder, who was an Army officer who was involved in the investigation the first night. And in that he said there had been three phone calls into the police station reporting this loud roar over Socorro about the time Lonnie Zamora was seeing the thing landed on the ground. I'm thinking, why did nobody try to find those people? It couldn't have been that hard because they knew where the thing came from. They knew the path where it took off. Socorro wasn't that big in 1964. Surely they could have knocked on a few doors and maybe found those people who had heard something, which would have made the case that much more important. But there was the landing traces, of course, that Zamora pointed out to. And we can see kind of the problems with some of the investigations, which were fairly amateur, especially that from the Air Force in that investigation. I've done a book on the Levelland sightings, which I guess we'll talk about here in a minute or two. I've done a number of books about Roswell. I've looked at the Washington National sightings. I've looked at UFOs in the deep state and how, or the reasons for the continued secrecy. You know, that's one of the questions that's often posed to those of us in the field. Why do they remain secret? I wouldn't be upset. It wouldn't cause a radical change in my lifestyle because you say, well, you know, the Roswell case took place 70 years ago. It's just not that big a deal. And the answer has to do with continuing power and the perception of what happens when a technologically superior civilization meets a technologically more primitive civilization. And it's about the retention of power, so you're looking at all of that. But I've, you know, looked at the whole body of the UFO phenomenon, looked at cattle mutilations, looked at crop circles, looked at abductions and all of those ancillary areas I think that don't relate directly to the ufology as I look at it, which is the alien visitation type aspect in the crash at Roswell and some of the landing traces. So that's kind of where I come from.
Now, a question I would have quickly before we get to Levelland about the deep state. So we have something here that's going on for over 70 years for the modern UFO era. How do you keep this a secret when you've got generation after generation of people in the military who go to different positions, retire, die off? You have different levels of leadership in government, CIA, presidents, etc. How do you retain a level of secrecy through all this?
Well, first of all, I haven't maintained the level of secrecy because we're chatting about it. What we're talking about is the hiding of the evidence. And if you take a look at the way our government works in today's world, the people at the top of those organizations, not the appointees, the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of State, but the underlings, the bureaucrats, and they linger from administration to administration. We're seeing people who were in the Clinton administration showing up in the Biden administration and vice versa. So you look at all of that, and they're the ones clued into this, and they understand that to retain their power and to retain the monetary benefits, it's in their best interest to remain silent. There is no motivation for them to leak the stuff into the public arena. So those of us at the far end of the spectrum are less struggling with trying to find those lower ranking people who will tell us something that we need to know and trying to document where the information came from. And I think that's why we see the problems with getting into the information is because the deep state as it exists, which I think people call the shadow government as well, is really managed by the bureaucrats that remain in their positions from administration to administration, and they're kind of keying all of that. I talked to a fellow about Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was going to tell us all that he knew about flying saucers when he became president. And I'm thinking, I'm the president. I can get the information. I go to the director of CIA, and I said, what's the deal on flying saucers? And he says, well, Mr. President, I can't tell you. It's too highly classified. My response is, you're fired. Bring your deputy in. But what we find out is this doesn't work quite that easily. When Carter was president-elect, he brought in the director of the Central Intelligence Agency, which was George H.W. Bush. And he said, Director Bush, want to know about the flying saucers?
You know, we want to know more about this, and we'll get into Levelland in a few minutes, but we want to get into this deep state because so much now is concerned with the new Pentagon study, alleged new Pentagon study. Kevin Randall, our special guest co-host and upcoming movie star, Kurt Collins, he's going to hate me for saying that. I'm Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scent hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast from Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, I've inflated Kurt's ego. No, Kurt's a good guy. We're just having fun with him. Kevin, let's just continue with that there. So if President-elect Jimmy Carter asks CIA Director George H.W. Bush what's going on with the flying saucers.
And George H.W. Bush says, well, Mr. President-elect, I want to remain as the director of CIA. And Jimmy Carter says to him, I'm sorry, I'm bringing my own guy in. So the director of CIA says, well, I can't tell you about that stuff anyway because you're not the president yet. You're the president-elect. So that's one way you kind of dodge the bullet. The other way you do it is the president comes to you and says, I want to know everything you can tell me about these UFOs. And whomever he's talking to, the director of the CIA, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the head of the FBI, whoever, says, well, Mr. President, that's a complicated question. There's an awful lot of parts to this thing. Let me get with some of the people and we'll prepare a report for you. We'll pull all these things together and we'll prepare a concise report so you can understand exactly what's going on. And somehow that report never gets done. Something happens that diverts his attention. With Jimmy Carter, we had the hostage crisis in Iran. And I think with Clinton becoming interested in UFOs, well, suddenly we had Monica Lewinsky. And I hate to bring her name up because I kind of feel sorry for the poor woman and the way she'd been treated. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing to do. They manipulate the situation so that somehow that report never gets done.
You think, by the way, if we're going to be conspiratorial because you already dropped it, that maybe some of these situations arise because some people in the deep state arrange to manipulate existing situations to take over in terms of the stage of events so that the UFO stuff is shunted aside.
Or we can look at it, they take the time to divert attention using the crises that erupt, because crises erupt all the time, and they can always find something the way to divert it. But I think what they do is we take a look at the report that was due to Congress on June 25th of last year. I always think of it as a great disaster, not unlike the Custer Massacre, which took place on June 25th. But I'm thinking about the level of competency that was displayed by that report. It was a poorly organized high school report that would have gotten a C-. I mean, it told us nothing. They said, well, we had 144 reports. Well, is that 144 separate incidents? Or is that 144 reports of, say, 70 incidents or 50 incidents? What does that mean? But we don't know. They haven't given us that answer. We couldn't figure out any of them but one. Well, that doesn't tell us anything either. And they said, well, we'll get back to you guys in 90 days with a more comprehensive report. That was October 25th. Did any comprehensive report come out on October 25th? No, we're still waiting for that. I mean, they just
yes, but now they have another musical chairs because the 2022 defense budget has another item to create a UFO office, I guess replacing the other office, which is why it can't produce anything. And this one adds one thing about it that interests me is human effects is part of the picture. I just wonder what they think, whether somebody throws up after they see a UFO or something more elaborate like in the Cash Landrum case. It's like deflection. Well, we had that organization, now we've got this group, and now we've got the next group. And by the time we wonder for a report from the next group, there's going to be another one, the 2023 military budget, then we'll have still a third, fourth, or 75th UFO group.
Well, I think of what's going on now as Twining 2.0. You know, if you remember, General Twining issued a letter or an order in September of 1947 saying that, you know, the phenomenon, whatever it is not illusionary or fictitious. It's something real out there, and we need to investigate it. He created an office with a security clearance or security classification, and people were supposed to be preparing reports on what was going on and gathering sighting information and that sort of thing. And what happened to that? Absolutely nothing. After 6 or 8 months, the emphasis was off and nobody cared. Nobody did anything about it until Rupel came in 52 and or 51 and tried to reorganize that. And pretty soon he's gone. And we end up with a whole bunch of directors or chiefs of Project Blue Book who couldn't care less about flying saucers and think it's a waste of their time and that there's nothing to it. And it culminates in the Condon Committee report in 1969. Here is the scientific study of UFOs. It's going to end all the discussion. It's going to find out exactly what's going on. And we learn decades later, it was all a put-up job, that the conclusions of the report were written prior to an investigation and prior to the contract being signed. The Air Force said to the Condon Committee, We'd like you to report that there's no national security implications. We'd like you to say some nice things about the way the Air Force has conducted their investigation. And we would like you to suggest that we close the investigation because there's nothing that's of value that's going to be learned by further investigation. Lo and behold, 1969, when the report comes out, that's exactly what they found. Even though we now know that they ran into a national security UFO sighting that they couldn't get information on because the national security veil was dropped on them. And I'm thinking there of the Belt Montana sightings, I think from 1967, where 10 missiles in a flight of intercontinental ballistic missiles was shut down from an outside source. Well, that's national security, because if something can shut down the missiles from outside, you don't want the Soviets, at the time the Soviets, to know that it can be done, because they'd be looking for the method to do it. So it's a national security issue. So there was a national security issue that dealt with UFOs that the Condon Committee was aware of, but they said, no, there's nothing to it. We don't care. The whole point is it's been manipulated from the very beginning. There was concern in 1947 when, right after Kenneth Arnold made his sighting, and then you had the Roswell crash, and Ruppelt himself said, going through the administrative files, showed that the Pentagon was in a panic in the summer of 1947. But that panic eventually eroded when the invasion fleet didn't show up, and there was nothing going on that was of great interest to them, so they lost interest in it when there was no consequence for it. And that's where we are today now. We hear about sightings from 2004, 2005, that may be a glitch in the electronic instruments being used. We don't know, because they won't tell us any of that sort of thing. And now they're going to create another office to investigate UFOs. Well, I've been down this road before, and I don't have much hope that it's going to take us to the right place.
Oh, boy. Well, that's a lot to digest, but it's a great overview of history, and it brings us right up to the present day. So I wanted to, before we get into Levland, I think I wanted to say there's a lot of people that maybe who watched the Project Blue Book TV show, and they may have the impression that that the way they investigated was that a scientist like Dr. Hynek jumped into a car or a plane and rushed to the scene. And I think you're going to tell us that it worked a little differently, and I'd like for you to also maybe give your opinion on the competency of the investigations.
I think if you take a look at the conclusions from the investigation, and I'll mention just one thing from Levland up front here, is after they looked at all the information, they decided it was ball lightning, and that's still the conclusion on the file. In 1957, scientists were still arguing about the existence of ball lightning. So they're using a phenomenon that they didn't know for sure exists to explain another phenomenon that they weren't sure existed.
That's a good way to cover your bases. I don't know if this is working or not, but here's something else we don't know about. We do know that Kevin Randall's with us. Kurt Collins is our special guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The FDA has expanded its authorization of the antiviral drug remdesivir to some COVID-19 outpatients. The antiviral drug has been approved for patients age 12 and older who weigh at least 88 pounds with a positive COVID-19 test results. The FDA also revised the emergency use authorization for the drug to include pediatric patients under the age of 12 who are also experiencing mild symptoms. The actions will allow the patients to receive remdesivir through intravenous infusion for a total of 3 days. The FDA said while these actions provide another treatment option to reduce risk of hospitalization, remdesivir is not a substitute for vaccination. They stressed that vaccination remains the strongest preventative measure against COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. There's an update in the case of Gabby Petito, who was found dead in September in a national park in Wyoming. The FBI office in Denver said a notebook found near the remains of Gabby Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, shows an admission by Laundrie that he was responsible for her death. Laundrie immediately became the prime suspect. His body was found in October, and authorities say he killed himself. At least one person was injured in a four-vehicle crash in Los Angeles Friday, including a vehicle driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The actor and former California governor wasn't injured. Details are still emerging on what caused the crash. Authorities say the impact was so severe that the airbags in Schwarzenegger's SUV were released. Police say alcohol and drugs were not involved in the collision. So far, no one has been charged in the incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let me just drop one thing to you parenthetically and we can go on with what Kurt was talking about. We see situations here in the current discussion about UFOs where two former CIA directors, Woolsey and Brennan, are saying we need to get more information. And I'm thinking to myself, they were directors of the CIA for a number of years, yet they had no access?
I think that they would have had access. They just may never have used the access. When you're dealing with highly classified materials, if you do not have a need to know, you're basically excluded. And I would think the director of Central Intelligence could determine what he had a need to know if something came up. And it may have been nothing came up in that time frame that created a reason for him to want to know things like that. And that's the other aspect that we really never think about, is that I think when you're talking to the president or you're talking about these things and you're wondering is if what the president may know, if the president doesn't ask specific questions about something, he may never get any answer about it. If something doesn't happen to draw his attention to it, they may not brief him on it because he has all this other stuff he has to deal with on a daily basis. So if there's not some major UFO sighting or something like that, it's just not on their radar to take a look at. So it may be that kind of a situation, or they may have known something and they're just not telling us what they know because of the classification of it. You've got to understand that when you end up, for the most part, in these high level positions with their top secret clearances, you've gone through a career of working your way up to the top levels. I mean, we have analysts at the very lowest levels leaking all kinds of crap into the mainstream media, but these aren't the people at the top who would have access to the really good stuff and that sort of thing. So you have to take a look at who they are and what they're doing and what are the benefits for them keeping quiet or lying about it. And the benefits are extremely high. If you don't talk about it, you, when you retire from the CIA, you can become a consultant as long as you keep your top secret clearance. And have access to other people who around you who can help you learn what you need to learn, or you can bug about what you want to bug them about. So you have to take a look at all of that sort of thing. So you have to wonder exactly what these guys may have known, what the guys may have asked about, and it may not have come up. There's a wonderful example of this in what was known as Operation Solo. And this was an FBI project back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And there was a fellow, Morris Childs, and I can't think of the name of his brother. But in the 1930s, these guys were at the top of the Communist Party in the United States. They were just rabid communists. And they were being aided by the Soviets. They were thinking of them as a wonderful way into the U.S. government. Well, the guys flipped. They decided communism wasn't the greatest thing in the world, and they became agents for the FBI. And it was run as Operation Solo. It was run out of the FBI office in New York City. And the people didn't know about what was going on. I mean, the FBI, sure, Hoover probably knew, but the FBI didn't know. The presidents weren't briefed on these guys because he had no need to know, with one exception. And this is what kind of keys this thing is. When Gerry Ford became president, he had a meeting coming up with the Soviets. And he was worried about the meeting. He was worried about what he would know and how he'd respond and what the Soviets knew and all of this sort of thing. And he was brought into, or read into, Operation Solo. So he knew that there was these two guys who had the utmost clearance availability to get access to the top Soviet leadership. And the Soviet leadership didn't understand that they understood Russian. So they would say things to one another in Russian, thinking that Morris Childs and his brother didn't know what was going on, and they understood perfectly what was being said. But it was a program that was so highly classified that the president wasn't brought into it if there was no need to bring him in. Gerry Ford sort of created the need to bring him in, and he was told about it, but he said nothing about this after his presidency ended. And that gives you a kind of an idea of how some of these things work, that they're run at a level by high-ranking bureaucrats, who they're not really rogue. They're doing the job that they're supposed to do, but they're keeping the information. They're keeping the information away from the higher levels of the government because that's what they're doing. They don't want them to have an inkling of what is happening. And we can see this in various levels of government. Harry Truman was not brought into the atomic bomb until he became president. It was necessary to brief him on what was going on because the war was going on. So we can see historical instances where they compartmentalized the information and limited the access to it. And so you have to take a look at all of that sort of thing to understand how this is kept secret and why it's kept secret, because these guys at the very top know that once they're out of the government and away from this sort of thing, they now have access to high-paying jobs. They become lobbyists. They become consultants. They do all of this sort of thing, and it's kind of part of the fee that they get. Or they can go out and make speeches for $1 million a pop, things like that. But if they let the cat out of the bag, then their access is granted, and they'll be demonized, and their credibility will be attacked, and they won't be able to garner all these benefits that they've earned over their years of working for the government.
Well, as Gene suggests, there are a few people that seem to be dropping a few hints. If you had a chance to talk to some of these, and, you know, there are some mainstream reporters asking these questions. What kind of, I don't know, would you ask for them to drop a hint? Where should we be looking?
Well, that's the problem, you know. We have to know where to look. Where is the Roswell information hidden? There has to be information on it. There has to be something going on, and we've tried everything we can think of to get in access to that, from talking to high-ranking military officers and congressional representatives. Carl Flock, through his wife, who worked with Congressman Schiff, created a situation where there was a great interest in the Roswell case, but what did that get us? It got us Project Mogul, for crying out loud. Just another dodge in the long history of let's make up great excuses and people will buy whatever we tell them because they always have. You don't have reporters really questioning the Project Mogul explanation anymore. I see it all the time when you look at a story. They always bring up Mogul. The Roswell case was solved. This is top secret Project Mogul. What was going on in New Mexico, the launching of the balloons was not top secret. It wasn't even classified. The ultimate purpose was classified, but they're using that as an umbrella to hide everything else. What was going on in New Mexico was out in the open. And in fact, pictures of Mogul arrays appeared in the newspapers on July 10th, 1947, as here's what some of the flying saucers are. And the news media bought it completely. They just... I think they wanted to be thought of as so sophisticated they wouldn't believe in the idea of flying saucers. It's just something they wouldn't do. And you see that level of tongue-in-cheek reporting quite a bit even today. Yes, we get some good reporting. We get some good questions. And we see the Congress now interested in it, creating congressional mandates. But there's ways to work around that. And I just have no expectation that anything of any value is going to leak its way into the public arena. And I'll say this, because the document says that they're only taking reports from military personnel and pilots looking for national security. Well, they can drop the national security veil under this thing and not tell us anything. And I think that's where it's going to go. Well, we've looked at this. We haven't got up anything. And there's some national security implications we have to deal with. So we're not going to let you know what's going on. And I think that's the way it's going to be. They're going to drop the national security umbrella over it, and we're all done.
We talked to Jerry Clark. He was a little more optimistic. You know, we think maybe that the one hope in all this lies that since there is so much in the public, that the military, that the government has acknowledged an interest, whether or not they're going to share information. So maybe we can leverage this with, you know, some academic pursuits, and maybe they can discover something on their own. You know, there's Avi Loeb's project, the Galileo project, and, you know, there's some money behind that, both from private investors and from Harvard.
We've got Kurt and Kevin and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So briefly, Kurt Collins is referring to the private efforts to look at UFOs, specifically Dr. Avi Loeb, the Harvard astronomer, and Project Galileo. Kurt, continue.
Oh, I'm just wondering if, you know, I don't think the government will open up, but maybe just the publicity and maybe the academics and private efforts can make some strides forward. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, I've talked to Avi Loeb a couple of times, and I keep getting emails from him when he's holding press conferences, and so I can attend the press conferences, which is kind of cool. But he's looking outward. He's not looking at UFOs. He doesn't want to have a thing to do with the history of UFOs. He's looking for other objects entering the solar system, like the one that passed through a couple of years ago that kind of sparked his interest in the possibility of alien artifacts moving through the universe or through the galaxy. But he's getting pushback from the academic world as well. You had John Mack, who was a Harvard professor and a Harvard psychiatrist as opposed to a psychologist, doing his work, and Harvard wasn't real pleased with that information leaking out. So you have some scientists who have in the past come forward and been interested in the UFO phenomena, but there's always pushback from the majority of the scientific community about that. I think that's the road we're going down here. I can see the hints of it by the way things are worded and the way things are conducted, that we're not going to get what we expect to get, that somehow they're going to dodge that bullet based on the way things are written. You've got to look at the higher-ranking military personnel and the higher-ranking people in the civilian side of the government and how that's worked out. Back in 1948, they did an estimate of the situation. The fellows at the lower end of the spectrum created a document called an estimate of situation, which in intelligent work is you put together the information you have and you send it up the chain of command for their kind of comments on it, which is what they had done. And they concluded that there was an interplanetary component to flying saucers, interplanetary as opposed to interstellar. But the chief of staff of the Air Force, General Vandenberg, said, no, you guys didn't prove it. Not only did he reject the report, but practically everybody who'd worked on it got fired. When the dust settled, the only people left in the Project Blue Book, Project Sign, Project Grudge, were the very low-ranking people The others were given other assignments and moved to other arenas to do their work. And at that point, the investigation deteriorated into just a sort of public relations outfit to explain UFO sightings.
Well, Gina, you've been minding the store on this for a long time, watching things. So do you see any hope in this? And what do you think? Kevin seems to have a negative opinion, so surely there's a bright light somewhere on all this.
Well, I can see why he's jaded after all the things we've seen over the years. So he's certainly being reasonable. Jerry Clark, of course, is being a lot more optimistic that this may be the one. The thing that bothers me, though, if you look through the history of the current UFO interests or UAP interests starting in the early 2000s, we've got, four different groups? We have the original group, the group written about in the New York Times. In fact, Ralph Blumenthal, the New York Times writer, one of the three who was writing that series, will be here on a future PowerCast episode to talk about that and also the book he wrote about the life of Dr. Mack. But anyway, so we have those two. Then we have the Pentagon UAP Task Force, and now we've got still another group coming with the 2022 budget. It kind of makes you feel that this is some sort of deflection, which I've said. You go from group to group, you play musical chairs, and you bring up hopes, or you just get people sick of the whole thing, and they go on to do something else. Or is that the hope, Kevin?
I think you're absolutely right. They figure, well, we play out this card, this string long enough, and people are going to lose interest in it and go somewhere else to get their information about other things. They're not going to be interested in flying saucers anymore. We've got to look at the whole history of the UFO phenomenon. We see these cyclic interests. You know, there was a big push and big interest in 1947, but it tapered off. We have 52. We had 57. We got into the mid-1960s. We had a big interest in UFOs, 1973, and then it kind of tapered off until we hit around 1990 and start building with the information about the Roswell case. And then all of that petered out. So it's just one of those things we look at. It's very cyclic in nature. It's the way the news media drives things. And it's what else comes up. You know, we've had a lot of news about the pandemic with the daily counts of how many people got tested and how many people got sick and all of that sort of thing. And that kind of has caught a lot of people's interest because it affects them directly, where you take a look at UFOs and how has that affected you directly. So you have to take a look at all of that sort of thing. But I am just very, very pessimistic about this based on what I have seen and the way some of the news media has talked about this. They talk about, well, the Navy released these videos saying, you know, these are real videos. Yeah, they're real videos, but what do they show? They're not saying they're alien. They're saying these are videos that were taken by Navy personnel. And there's a whole different level of nuance there that I think some people have missed when they're looking at. Not only that, the videos were taken, more than a decade ago, and we're just finding out about it. They're not very impressive when you think about what they're showing and how much of the videos that we have our hands on. Surely the Navy's got more information about this. Surely the Pentagon's got more information about this, but we're getting very limited access to it. So I think we have to take a look at all of that. You know, you can talk to the pilots who are involved in this sort of thing, but we've talked to pilots for literally decades about their encounters with UFOs, and somehow it's always shown to be not quite as exciting as we thought, or they've found a way to deflect attention to some other aspect of it and bury the whole thing under a mountain of paperwork.
Baffle them with, we don't want to use that term because this is a family radio show. Okay, speaking of the 1957 wave, and I first heard about this a year or two later, Major Donald Keough had a book where Leveland was raised because of his arguments with the Air Force over their investigation and the results thereof. You wrote a book about it. Why did you pick this particular sighting to cover?
I think it's almost as important as the Roswell sighting, because we had witnesses at various locations, multiple locations, independent witnesses, reporting essentially the same thing. We had the UFO interacting with the environment, stalling car engines, dimming headlights, filling radios with static, telling basically the same thing. We had law enforcement involved in the sightings, and we see how the Air Force responded to it, which was they sent a staff sergeant from Colorado Springs to Leveland. He spent an entire 7 hours investigating the case. Well, that's not fair. He didn't spend 7 hours investigating the case. He spent some time investigating it, but he was there for 7 hours. And they came up with this cockamamie idea that it was ball lightning, and that was the end of it. But what you see, if you go through the Project Blue Book files on this, you find out the Air Force is kind of manipulating the situation. In one case, there's a letter in the files that suggests that we're going to wait to see what NICAP has to say, NICAP being Don Kehoe, who you mentioned. Let's see what he has to say, because it's easier to respond to that than come out with something of our own. And Kehoe and the Air Force got involved in this argument over the number of witnesses. Kehoe said there were 9 witnesses. The Air Force said, no, there were only 3. And that's really irrelevant, because if you go through the Project Blue Book files, I can find in the Project Blue Book files suggestions of more than 9 witnesses who were involved in some aspect of it. The sheriff, and I hate his name, but it's his name and I can't get around it, Sheriff Weir Clem, said at one point, quoted in the newspaper, saying that he had gotten literally hundreds of phone calls about this object over those days, and yet we hear about only a limited number of those people. It was a massive sighting that took place not only in Leveland, but if you take a look around the rest of the United States in that time frame, November of 1957, you can see an awful lot of these stories where the UFO was approaching close to the ground, stalling car engines and interacting with the environment in that way. There's also, you look at the Air Force file and they're saying, well, Sheriff only saw a streak of light some 900 yards away, a bright light for 2 seconds. But you look at some of the newspaper articles published before the Air Force investigator showed up. He's talking about how he got much closer to it and he saw an oval shaped or sort of a football shaped object. So you see that the manipulation of the data that we've heard about for years, I think that Clem told Don Berliner in 1975 that he had seen a shaped object. So we can look at the newspaper articles from 1957 when he said the same thing.
Let's break it here and we'll have more with Kevin, Gene, and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.